Hey, it's WGN Radio 720. James Van Ossel, that's me. In the studio, I'm joined by a trio of talents. Troika. Andrew, Denise, Lily B. The Story Club is
yeah.
here. Are you all representing the South Side Story Club?
Story Club knows no bounds. We are North Side, South Side. I am the host of the South Side.
I see.
Yes.
And you meet every third Tuesday, is that right?
Third Tuesday of the month.
And where does that happen?
That is the Co-Prosperity Sphere on Morgan Street in Bridgeport.
Sounds very sci-fi.
It sounds more sci-fi than it actually is.
It sounds really, like a dystopian headquarters.
It looks like a dystopian headquarters sometimes. It's an art gallery space, and they have really weird stuff on the walls randomly. We have no idea what it's going to look like month to month. It's very exciting for us.
There's not genetic engineering happening at the Co-Prosperity Sphere?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
All right, so statement. Denise and Lily, what are you representing? North?
Me?
South?
I'm actually going to be telling this month at Story Club Southside.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just ride or die storytelling.
Yeah. Lily B, we've had Lily B and we've had Denise at Southside. And Denise is here on Tuesday to represent the zombie show that we're doing.
All right, so explain this, because what I know mm-hmm. of Story Club is that this is a nonfiction thing. It's oral storytelling.
Yeah.
It's an open mic kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's nonfiction. So when I think zombies, zombies aren't.
Are you saying they're fiction? They're fictional zombies?
I need them to be. I need them to be fiction. Otherwise, I'm going to have a very restless night.
It's going
to
be rough.
Yeah. I'm not wrong.
No, you're dead on. We do allow fiction. That sounds really terrible. Fiction's cool with
us.
Oh,
thank you for allowing fiction.
Yeah, I know. Oh, the great story
Andrew
gods.
Said it's okay.
So
yeah.
It's fine. No, fiction is great. We love fiction, but. The stories tend to be nonfiction, and nonfiction is really riveting to watch. So I did ask all of our storytellers to tell on the theme of zombies, and we left it open, you know? So have you ever been a zombie? Have you ever been kind of walking around dead? Do you know anything that just won't die in your life? That kind of thing.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
I am kind of zombie-like right now. I've had about 2 hours of sleep in the past 24 hours, so there's a good chance I may start hallucinating, speaking in tongues. That right there, that's the value of free radio.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for that kind of entertainment.
No, and I don't. Even if you did pay, you couldn't do better than that.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, so Story Club, usually nonfiction. Explain the open mic nature of this. You're hosting this thing on Tuesday. Can anyone just get up and tell a story?
Absolutely. That's one of the fun things. We have this kind of a hybrid show. So we have featured performers who we've asked to come in prepared on the theme. And then we have anyone who walks in off the street. They can put their name in a cigar box. We shake it up. We pull your name. If you get called up, you get 8 minutes to tell a story.
See, this is dystopian. This is like the lottery. This is like this is the reaping.
This is the Hunger Games. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it. Absolutely.
Primrose. Damn it.
I volunteer.
So, all right, so they get how long to do this?
They get 8 minutes.
That seems like forever. I mean, doing talk radio, eight minutes. Like, I could be done in 2 minutes.
People,
I'm good.
Yeah, people like to talk sometimes, so it's good. But, you know, most people do end up on at the time. It's comfortable time for most people.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're just getting revved up
yeah,
at the
you know,
5 minute mark.
And what's fun about that, it's not for people who are necessarily writers or necessarily performers, although we have a lot of writers and performers come in. It's for anybody. Everyone's got a story. Everyone can tell one. And 8 minutes, that's a good time for them.
Do people just kind of wing it, or do people work off?
Both. People will prepare stuff. People will come in and just say, oh, I got a thing. Whatever.
There's a certain level of fearlessness attached to that, isn't there?
I think so, yeah.
Because writing, to me, is a very introverted passion or practice.
Yeah, totally.
So when you're putting it out there on stage, that's courageous.
It takes chutzpah,
it does. So, all right, so let's talk to Denise and Lily. How did you get involved with this?
With this show or just storytelling?
Storytelling.
I went to a show in Wicker Park called Growthful Stories 4 years ago, and I went to just watch, and the friend who invited me threw my name in the hat. I was an audience member. That's it. I went to go watch. I went from audience member to storyteller to now host, producer of shows.
A friend threw your name in the hat.
Yeah. So when they called Lily, I was really looking around for another Lily in the room. It's like, oh, there's another girl named Lily here. And no, she was like, no, that's you. Get on. That's you. And I was like, what am I going to tell? So I just told the first story that came to mind, which is about my son putting cat poop in a girl's book bag. Wow. It just came to me. I was like, well, that's what I'm going to tell, because I've been telling everyone, like, you're not going to believe what my son did this month. And that, and so I just went up there and told that story.
Courtship has changed over the years. And Denise, how did you get involved with this?
I was actually, for a year, taking a risk every day. I was a pretty scared person and decided that I didn't want to do that anymore. So I started taking risks every day, and I heard about storytelling, and I was like, ah, man, no, I have to do that.
It was a personal challenge to yourself.
It was, yeah. I have a background in performing, so, you know, that wasn't so scary, but, like, presenting some of my own writing was super scary.
Sure.
So the first show I did was Story Lab, and I went... The first risk was going, and then when I was there, they were like, you can just sign up. And I'm like, oh, man, come on. So I took the opportunity, and, yeah, it was great. I told a story of my husband and I getting a free honeymoon that we took before our wedding, and then had lots of free tequila, and he ended up in the hospital, and, there was talking in Spanish solely, and me crying all over the counter of a Mexican hospital. It was an entertaining story, I'm sure.
I'm not changing the channel. That's interesting.
Yeah, right?
So, all right. So, this coming Tuesday, Story Club Southside.
Yes.
It is Zombie Night at the spookily named Co-Prosperity Sphere, 3219 South Morgan. Submit to the Co-Prosperity Sphere and see this. I've got to throw it to news. Rob Martier is here to do news. Can we get, like, a little hint, little story from you?
Absolutely.
You'll do a reading here on the air?
Yeah, I got a short little intro thing, little teaser.
A teaser.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to give it away. You got to come out to the dystopian headquarters.
I got to be honest. This is all the material I wrote. So you may hear this twice if you come on Tuesday. But it's good material. I'll stand behind it.
Before I throw it to news, is it a supportive environment? If I were to walk in off the street, would I? If people bomb, is it obvious?
No. It is the most loving room I have ever performed in.
That's totally true.
It is so much love. It's BYOB, BYO food. And no one's a customer.
Now, hang on, that'd be BYOF if you just want to be consistent.
I could be. Yeah. No, BYOF. You're correct. Mm-hmm. And then they come in. They come in, and it's like everyone's just eating, and they're drinking, and they're talking, and it's, I don't know, it's like church, and it's like a cult, but a nice cult.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's like a friendly cult.
A fun cult.
Yeah, a fun cult. It's a lot of fun.
I love those. I love those. So your spirit isn't broken. You don't have to give up your worldly possessions.
Right. They don't drag you away from your family and your home.
They don't force the detachment from lifelong friends. Great. All right,
lifelong friends.
That's right. We'll talk to the fun-loving cult that is Story Club after Rob Martier checks in with the news. It's WGN. WGN Radio 720. James Van Ostel here from Ed Fubala in the studio. Story Club members. I have Andrew, Denise, and Lily in the studio. Thanks for hanging out this morning. The next Story Club event, it's on the south side. It is 3219 South Morgan, the Co-Prosperity Sphere.
Yes.
And all are welcome. And this week's theme is zombies. And it's nonfiction stories, stories that have happened in your personal life, being a zombie, feeling like a zombie, things that are undead or skin necrosis. I don't know what would fall under that category.
Well, I don't either. That's why I picked it.
Okay. So since you're all storytellers by trade, I want you all brought in stories, and I want to hear your stories. I think that'll be super cool to hear. What's the secret to telling an effective story?
Oh, wow. Hey, Lily B, what's your secret?
Because we all tell stories. At work, we talk about, you know, what a jerk the boss is. Or, you know, parents will tell stories about, you know, that great soccer game their kids played. How do we tell better stories in life?
I think it comes, for me at least, because I was an audience member, and I think I've been storytelling my whole life and just finally have a stage for it. I think it's like beginning, middle, and end. Has to have a beginning, middle, and an end. And for me, my stories have to leave you with something, like, to think about, to maybe look at your own life, you know? I mean, I that's the key to me. It's like, I can't just go up there and tell some self-indulging, like, I'm awesome and this was great, or like this, or feel bad for me. I want to leave you with something. And so when I tell stories, it's more for the audience than it is to just share a part of my life, really. So I guess, I mean, that's what I do.
That's
and,
awesome.
And it works for me. It ain't working.
I definitely agree with the beginning, middle, end thing. Yeah. It sounds so basic, but right. It really makes a difference. If you hear somebody tell a story and there isn't a clear begin, middle, and end, you don't take the journey with them as much, and it really does make a difference. The other thing, it's interesting to see a transformation in the main character. And when you're telling these stories, you're the main character. So you have to find something that changed. If not from the beginning to the end of the story, from the beginning of the story to where you are now when you're standing in front of people and telling it. That is interesting.
I should let you guys know, and if people are watching on the web stream right now, you're not stroking out. The lights are fading in and out in the studio. I'm not sure what's going on. There's a bulb problem going on here. Denise, what do you think makes for a good story?
I think vulnerability. I think it's really whenever I'm watching someone tell a story, I always get really excited when they are allowing themselves to be vulnerable, safe, like not like emotionally safe, not going to an unsafe place where I'm then worried about them and want to go up and hug and say, are you okay? But
do some people at these events go too far? Do they cross that line?
No, I don't think so. But I think in general, you know, you have to, it's with it being personal stories, you have to be in an okay place to be able to be vulnerable and yet keep your audience safe, in my opinion, you know. But I think being vulnerable is huge. And I think if you can do that, you give your audience an opportunity to be vulnerable for themselves, too.
And this goes back to being fearless.
Yeah.
And that's a courageous thing to do.
It's hard, but when you can do it and when you watch it, it's unreal.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
One of the ways that to be vulnerable that I think is really interesting is when you make yourself the bad guy of your own story. There is nothing more amazing than going up and telling a story where you're obviously a jerk. But it's you admitting this to a group of people that I was that guy at one point. I see myself as, you know, I saw my actions for what they were, and I'm better now because I figured it out.
I made it to the other side.
And if everyone still likes you at the end, that's a great feeling. Yeah, you're like,
victory.
Oh, that's cool. I guess it's not so bad that I was a jerk that time.
All right, so we're here with Story Club. The event is happening Tuesday at Co-Prosperity Sphere. Stories about zombies, the undead. Andrew, you brought a story in, a teaser, an amuse-bouche, if you will.
It is exactly a amuse-bouche. That's correct. An amuse. I don't know. It's. I'm trying to think of a zombie equivalent. They're all awful.
No.
They're all awful.
So I'm not going to say them.
All right. So without further ado, this is Andrew from Story Club.
This is an absolutely true story. It usually starts with queasiness. We all know that. A sickness kept her from eating, even when she was hungry. It emptied her of her normal cravings to make room for its own bizarre appetites. She would vomit up anything else, anything it did not want her to eat. It progresses, of course. Her skin changes color slowly. Her muscles grow stiffer and stiffer. When she walks, she shambles. When she tries to speak, groans escape her throat. Strange growths appear in stranger places. Her sense of smell sharpens until, without thinking, she can locate the meat in any room. Her muscles twitch as if they had a mind of their own, as if they want something she does not want, and they are trying to get it. She had seen this coming. There were some close calls in the past, some almosts. She tried to make preparations. She can still remember the unsettled look on the cashier's face when she and her husband bought all that plastic sheeting and the gallons of bleach and the garlic salt. She thought she was prepared. But the attack comes so unexpectedly. It bends her pelvis out of shape. It splits her abdomen muscles in half. And any day now, it will be done nourishing itself from her insides. And it will leave her empty and start crawling. Crawling. Perhaps crawling towards her husband, who refuses to leave her side. In other words, I'm going to be an uncle any day now. And my sister has been very open about what pregnancy does to the body. And it is terrifying. It is the stuff of horror movies. I actually didn't know that abdomen muscles split when you're pregnant. That's a thing that happens.
It is.
It's horrifying to me. She's also planning a home birth, and she said that when her husband and her went to the store, it was like they were shopping for Dexter, is how she described it. Plastic sheeting and bleach.
Oh, my God. Very well done.
Thank you.
Andrew from Story Club. All right, now we have two more stories. Yep. All right, are these teasers as well?
Mine is a section from the piece that I'll be telling this week. I chose to go kind of a different route than Andrew. My piece is based off of a time when my husband was very, very ill a few years ago, and I essentially stepped into a caregiver role, and sort of my downfall into basically taking all of my emotions and balling them up and sticking them in a corner of my gut and saying, "You don't exist. You don't exist." So I basically felt like a zombie because I wasn't really feeling much of anything. So I thought I would tell a part that wasn't nearly as intense as what this story has become. So.
All right, well, let's hear it. This is Denise from Story Club.
March 18th, 2013. My therapist brought up two pivotal points during our first session. Number one, I was a caregiver. Number two, I had experienced a trauma. I laughed in his face. "I am not a caregiver," I said, "and this wasn't traumatic." He did the annoying therapist thing where they just stare at you, letting you get so uncomfortable in the suffocating silence that you have to talk. "I mean, I never had to bathe my husband," I said, "and he was always capable of walking and using the bathroom. I mean, I'm not a caregiver." My therapist crossed his legs, nodding and resting his chin on his thumb and forefinger. "Okay, and you don't think you've experienced a trauma?" "No," I said. It should be pointed out that when he asked me at the beginning of the session why I came in, I broke down into uncontrollable sobs and related the entire story of my husband's illness while ugly crying on his IKEA couch. But no, I hadn't experienced a trauma. "I'm fine," I said. "I just don't feel happy." "Okay," he said. "We'll try to work on that."
Nice. Well done. I need to take a break. We've got traffic to do. We got stuff going on. But don't go anywhere, because, Lily, we still have to get to you.
All right.
All right. Good. Story Club is my guest in the studio. This is WGN. And it is WGN. James Van Osdell in for Matt Duvalla this morning. In the studio, hanging out here, is Andrew, Denise, and Lily from Story Club. The next Story Club event is on the south side. It is at the Co-Prosperity Sphere, 3219 South Morgan. And this week's theme is zombies, the undead. And Lily, what do you have for us?
So my 10-year-old son comes into the living room. And I'm playing Resident Evil 4. It's the game of the year that year, and I'm super into it. I've been playing it for what seems like 2 weeks, trying to beat this game, and he's been watching me play this, he's been watching the levels, and he's so into it. And so I had to get some laundry out of the, or change the laundry or do something, and I give him the remote and I say, "Hey, here, finish this level for me. Go up the stairs to the right, kill as many zombies as you can, and then and go to the checkpoint." And he grabs the remote from me and he says, "Okay." I go do what I have to do and I come back, and he's still at the bottom of the steps where I left him on the game. I'm like, "Why didn't you do anything? What's going on?" And he admits to me that he's scared. "I'm scared of zombies." And I'm wondering, like, oh my goodness, how can you be scared of zombies? Because I'm 35 with an 18-year-old, so y'all can do the math. And so I didn't really know. I mean, in hindsight, yeah, we probably shouldn't have been playing zombie games that he could watch. But he then admitted to me that he is terrified of zombies. This is after we've taken him to see Dawn of the Dead and we've watched zombie movies with him. He's finally admitting to me that he's afraid of zombies, and I feel guilty. and I feel bad. So I try to fix it. I'm like, no, you don't have to be afraid of zombies. They're not real. Don't worry about it, baby. Look, I can show you that they're not real, and I'm looking up stuff, and I'm showing him evidence that there's never been a zombie apocalypse or anything like that. And he listens to me with these eyes, and he gives me this look where he's like, I believe you, Mom, but I don't believe you. And after exhausting all the options, I've talked to his dad about it. We had his grandma talk to him, and everyone is just like letting him know that he doesn't have to have nightmares. I just finally give in. And I do what most parents do. And I lie to him. And I tell him, zombies can happen. You're totally right. You know what? You're right. I was dumb for even thinking about like telling you. I mean, you're smarter than that. Of course zombies can happen. But look at us. We're your parents. We've beat Resident Evil 4. We live in a loft. We live in a loft in Lakeview that looks like a warehouse. And we can throw things down the stairs. And we can barricade ourselves in. We have food forever. I said, we got this. And you see our aim on these video games. Every Resident Evil game, headshot galore. And his eyes light up because he knows that's how you kill zombies, is headshots. So he's like, you're right. His eyes light up. He's so happy to hear that Mom and Dad got this. Like, we right down the street from Trader Joe's, we can scale the rooftops and get food anytime we want. And it all sounds so right to my baby. And he stopped having nightmares. And that's it.
As you started that story, my first thought was, oh, man, she let her kid play Resident Evil. That was the whole idea of the story I came to learn. But I'm at that point. You know, my oldest son is 12. I don't know what's appropriate. Like, I want him to enjoy horror movies. I don't know which one I can show to him.
If it makes you feel any better, my son's 18 now, and he's got a full ride to UIUC, and he's studying biochemical engineering. So,
sweet.
So obviously, we didn't scar him too much, and it didn't mess him up. And maybe biochemical engineering, the reason that he wants to do biochemical engineering is because he might want to, like, you know, save us from the zombie apocalypse.
This is good to know.
So do what you're doing. I mean,
yeah.
There is no...
28 weeks later, here we come.
Here we go.
Have a little George Romero Film Fest when I get home tonight.
There you go.
It's fantastic. It. I didn't know where we were going, and that all makes sense. But I mean, to your point, Andrew, like, she started out like, wait, that's kind of like a bad guy moment.
Yeah.
That turned around.
Yeah.
There was in 4 minutes or less, there was an arc.
There you go.
That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right, so again... Story Club Southside, the Tuesday night event, Co-Prosperity
yes.
Sphere, 3219 South Morgan, just walking off the street. It's a value at any price, but how much would we pay?
You will pay $0, but we do pass the hat and ask for a $10 donation, and you may get a stink eye if you don't, but probably
not. I can see that.
Because we're not keeping track, really.
You're not judgy?
We're not judgy. We're judgy for a second, but I hide it. We hide it. We keep it on the inside.
He's got a
You'd never
face.
Know.
That's fantastic. So while you guys are here, I thought I'd run through a couple of scary-ish stories. They're not my stories. They're stories that are out there on the internet. This story is horrifying. A Scottish woman started to get nosebleeds after she was in a motorcycle accident. She thought the two were related. Dude just waving at us. So she started getting these nosebleeds after a motorcycle accident, and it happened when she was in Vietnam. She just assumed the two were related. Then, when she was in the shower one morning,
oh god,
she noticed there's blood coming out by her bottom lip, looked closer in the mirror, and there was a leech hanging out of her nose.
Oh my god.
Horrible.
It was a 3-inch leech. It had lived in her nose for at least a month. Had the leech remained in her nose, it would have eventually wormed its way into her brain.
Oh god. Oh, that is
you
the
shut
worst.
Up. So the speculation is that while she was swimming in Vietnam, it had nothing to do with the motorcycle accident, clearly. While she was swimming in Vietnam, the leech entered her nose, and it was very small at the time, and it just grew and grew. So she stepped out of the shower that morning, saw that thing wiggling out of there, and realized that something had gone horribly wrong inside her nasal cavity.
Like every... everything that is awful in the world is happening in my brain right now from hearing that. That is the worst thing.
Do you have a leech in your brain?
I might.
I've been swimming in Vietnam lately.
No, leeches and brains. That's not like.
I'm uncomfortable walking out of the shower and realizing I have a pimple, but imagine walking out of the shower. I have a 3-inch leech dangling from there.
Oh, God. I got a tick once that I noticed out of a shower. That
really?
Is creepy. Yeah, it was on my thigh. It was really weird. Oh. It's horrible. I mean, it's a bug, and it's attached to you.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's not supposed to. That's not me. That's not me, but it's attached. Terrifying.
Were you, like, outside? Were you, like, backwoodsing it?
I think I'd been in Nashville, like, the week before. I just hadn't noticed.
But Nashville's all, like, music clubs and strip clubs.
And Mammoth Cave. It's mostly strip clubs. Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
All right, how about this one? A house in Weldon Spring, Missouri has been vacant for 2 years after an immense spider problem caused a family to move out. The description was the spiders were bleeding out of the walls.
Oh, God.
The family moved in 2007, but the family started spotting spiders in their webs every day in the air vents, the ceiling of the pantry, the fireplace. A pest control company came in. They had to use 200 pounds of sulfuryl fluoride gas pumped in at 67 degrees below zero to get rid of all the spiders in this house. The walls were bleeding spiders.
Oh, the walls were bleeding spiders.
I mean, you got to give props to whatever journalist thought that up, right? Like the
bleeding spiders.
Bleeding spiders.
Can you think of
A plus?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be BuzzFeed.
Well done, BuzzFeed. Uh-huh. A nastier sentence has not been written.
They are journalistic geniuses.
I've had pest problems before.
Yeah.
I've got to say, spiders at that volume would bug me. Spiders don't bug me as much as, say, a centipede.
Mm.
Those things can move.
That's true.
They can.
And they just pop up. Like, yes. It's never like you see it coming. It's always like I sit on the couch and it crawls across my foot or something.
The worst centipede experience I ever had, got out of the shower. It all goes back to my showers, really. Got out of the shower, grabbed a towel off the rack. As I was about to wipe my body dry, I saw a huge centipede just clinging to the back of the towel.
Oh, he was
giving you an assist.
Yeah.
He wanted to patch it down.
Yeah, how you doing, Senator?
Oh, my God. That happened to me once when I went to my underwear drawer. It was really creepy.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pulled out a bra, and I was like, oh, my God.
Centipede and bras.
I've had mice before. That's no good either.
Oh, man. I went through, like, a horrible traumatic experience where I had to kill a lot of mice.
Yeah, because where there's...
in the glue traps, they don't...
Yeah, they just... Where there's one mouse, sorry, there are a lot more.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
They travel in... They're a team. It's like the Justice League. they take over. And for a while there, it was a recurring issue in my home. God. The first time I ever had mice, this is horrible. My wife had a combination of a sinus infection and bronchitis. She was just laid out, just peak misery. I'm downstairs in the family room watching TV with my son. He was maybe 6 or 7 at the time. As we're sitting on the TV, I notice a mouse coming out. He walked out on the top of the television, looked at us, and dove back behind it. That was the first time I ever saw a mouse in the house. I freaked out. I hate vermin. So I said to my son, hey, buddy, because all kids are buddy until they're about 15. Hey, buddy, stay right there. I've got to go tell your mom something. So my wife is feeling like death. I go upstairs. I sit on the edge of the bed. I'm like, huh, funny story. As I'm telling her this, as she's at peak misery, I sit on the bed. The bed frame cracks. The bed hits the ground. And she said, what do you have to tell me? I'm like, we have mice in the house. I'm going to go downstairs. We'll figure out how to fix the bed later. I'm sorry you don't feel well. Would you like a cold compress? It was like everything that could have gone wrong.
Instantly.
And that started that chain of getting the glue traps. The snapper traps are really the only thing that works, I found.
Oh, yeah.
The old school wood traps.
When I tried that, I had them so bad they were scratching the walls at night of my bedroom. Yeah. That is the worst noise.
That's when they make it personal.
Yeah, they're
in the bedroom.
Guys,
that's personal.
This is not okay anymore.
Yeah.
All right,
you
had your space.
Line.
You crossed a line. And I had the wooden. I had the wooden traps, but they would strip them all.
What do you mean?
Like I put cheese in them, and they would be unsnapped. I don't know if I just was buying the worst wooden traps in the world.
Well, and here's the thing about the wooden traps. They're dirt cheap. They're impossible to set. It takes me like 10 minutes. It is a delicate thing, and it's really hard to get that.
Mm-hmm. Get it. Yeah. But you snap your finger half the time.
I've never done that, but I've had moments where it's snapped and I've scared the bejesus out of myself because it's so shocking and startling. All right, so again, glad we could have this time together.
Just giving each other the willies. This is great.
You know, I just can't even imagine like scratching on the walls next to your bed.
Oh, they do. They do.
Oh, they know. Oh. They know what they're doing.
They do.
They're in my head.
All right, so Andrew, Denise, Lily, thank you so much for coming in. Tuesday night, we can see you do what you do, tell stories.
Yeah.
And I love it. I'm glad you guys were able to hang out all morning long here.
Thank you. This is great.
All right, and again, it is at the Co-Prosperity Sphere, 3219 South Morgan. And thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.